news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
ProPublica on Tuesday published a new report that's gonna get you angry. Using IRS data, the report shows that some of the world's richest people, including Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Michael Bloomberg, Carl Icahn, and George Soros, paid no federal income taxes in some recent years. Bezos reportedly didn't pay any federal income taxes in 2007 and 2011. This is before he became the world's richest person, but after he became a multimillionaire. Tesla CEO Elon Musk, the second richest person in the world, paid no tax in 2018. Bloomberg, former New York mayor, presidential candidate, and business tycoon, also skated on taxes recently, as did George Soros for three straight years. ProPublica based their report on IRS data covering 15 years of returns for thousands of the wealthiest American taxpayers. IRS Commissioner Charles Rettig responded by saying the agency was investigating the release of the information. That's what they're investigating? Not the fact that the wealthiest among us are paying nothing? Think their priorities are backwards. Well, the House of Representatives is still out on recess for another week, but the Senate has returned and immediately got down to business. They finally, on Tuesday, confirmed Biden's first judicial nominee, voting 66-33 to confirm Julian Javier Neils to a lifetime seat in the U.S. District Court for the District of New Jersey. Senator Schumer noted the significance of the confirmation and said he's eager to get moving on more of Biden's court picks. Well, what are you waiting for? The fact that it's taken so long to get Biden's first judicial nominee confirmed is concerning, as the former administration's top priority was packing the bench, and that they did. And then there's the subject of our Attorney General, Merrick Garland, who's taking some questionable positions, like his decision to continue defending the former guy in a defamation suit brought by writer E. Jean Carroll. Now, at least I'm not the only one who's livid about this latest development, am I, Rachel?
Ms. Carroll accused former President Trump of rape. He responded by insulting her and calling her a liar. In response to that, she sued him for defamation in his personal capacity as a private citizen. The allegation was about an alleged rape, which she says happened many years before he was president. The defamation case was him defaming her, allegedly defaming her, in response to her making those allegations. Well, last fall in September, there was this sort of shocking move made by Attorney General William Barr when he asked if the court would remove Trump as the defendant in that case and substitute in the United States government to be the defendant instead. Barr said when Trump basically made these public claims that E. Jean Carroll was a liar and he couldn't have raped her because he doesn't like the look of her, William Barr went to the court and said that statement from Donald Trump was him carrying out the official duties of the presidency of the United States. And therefore, the government will defend this case. He's effectively immunized. It was a shocking thing, right, to say that this was an official act by the president. But the point of that act by William Barr was to immunize Trump and also to make her case go away. Legally, the U.S. government can't be sued for defamation. And so if Barr succeeded in this shocking ploy, if he was able to get the government itself swapped in to be the defendant instead of Trump, well, the government can't be sued for defamation. That would result in her case dying instantly. Right? It's just a really shocking move by William Barr when he did that last fall. Late last night, Merrick Garland and the Biden Justice Department said they're sticking with it. They're sticking with that position.
But wait, there's more. Maddow also spoke about Garland continuing the Barr Justice Department practice of getting phone records of journalists who've been critical of the administration until Biden finally ordered it stopped. What the? And now this story crosses my desk, and honestly, it makes me want to scream and cry. According to the Washington Post, the Biden administration confirmed in a Tuesday court filing that it will, quote, vigorously defend a religious exemption from federal civil rights law that permits religious schools to discriminate against LGBTQ students, even if those schools receive federal funding. The filing said that the Education Department and Christian schools, quote, share the same ultimate objective, namely to uphold the religious exemption as it's currently applied. What? The filing has predictably shocked LGBTQ advocates. Paul Carlo Southwick is director of the Religious Exemption Accountability Project, and he said the government is now aligning itself with anti-LGBTQ hate in order to vigorously defend an exemption that everyone knows causes severe harm to LGBTQ students using taxpayer money. Southwick said the religious exemption leaves students at a risk of conversion therapy and expulsion, as well as shame, fear, anxiety, and loneliness. This is simply unacceptable. So I guess this is a good time for Biden to get out of Dodge. Yep, the president is set to leave Wednesday on his first overseas trip since taking office. Biden's 8-day trip will include a meeting with a group of 7 leaders this weekend to discuss ways to cooperate on coronavirus vaccine sharing. Biden will reportedly aim to reassure European partners about U.S. leadership following the former guy's isolationism and the importance of democracy to counter rising authoritarianism. Biden's trip will end with a summit with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Well, as Biden leaves, Vice President Kamala Harris is wrapping up her first trip, which didn't go as well as they'd hoped. First, she was criticized by some about her tone toward potential migrants during a news conference on Tuesday with Guatemalan President Alejandro Giamatti when she warned,
"I want to be clear to folks in this region who are thinking about making that dangerous trek to the United States-Mexico border. Do not come. Do not come. And I believe if you come to our border, you will be turned back."
Then, in an interview with NBC's Lester Holt, her answer to a question about criticisms that she hasn't yet visited the U.S.-Mexican border seemed to get under her skin and didn't make things any better.
Okay. Do you have any plans to visit the border?
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
Yeah, I'll just leave that right there. So maybe we should just call it infrastructure year. President Biden on Tuesday ended his negotiations with Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito, blaming the Republicans for not seriously engaging. But instead of realizing that the Republicans will not work with his administration and starting the process to use reconciliation to get this done, Biden is still trying to find that unicorn of a bipartisan agreement. Now he's talking to the Democratic thorns in his side, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, along with Republican Bill Cassidy, to see if they can come up with a plan. And then there's another group of Republican senators, including Rob Portman and Mitt Romney, who are allegedly working on an alternative plan aimed at winning over moderates. Meanwhile, CNN's reporting that at the Senate Democrats' lunch on Tuesday, quote, one Democrat after another expressed deep frustration at what they viewed as a fruitless effort to find consensus with Senate Republicans. What this appears to be is a last-ditch effort on Biden's part to negotiate with Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema, the two so-called Democrats who are opposed to fixing our filibuster nightmare. Oh boy, do we have a lot of work to do. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.